Praise God. It's going to be a good night. I'm grateful for the favor of God. I'll just go ahead and tell you that I do have an agenda tonight. And I'm not going to leave you guessing about what it is. I've come for one single purpose tonight, and that's to help the church. Amen. If I can help pastors in this house today, if I can help saints of God in this house today, then the church is going to be blessed and the church is going to be strengthened. And if God don't help us, then we're helpless. Praise God. But if the Holy Ghost will anoint us today, and if you'll help me just a little bit here today, I'll do my best not to take too much time. But just a couple of days after Brother Cowan invited me and we had that conversation, it took me a minute to realize that it was a special kind of service that I was coming to. He'd just been telling me, gonna have you come. And he called, said, can you come this weekend for Friday, Sunday, and Sunday night? And I said, I'll check my schedule, make sure I had some coverage at home. I said, yes, I can come. And then a few days later, he sent me a flyer about this anniversary service. And I called him back. I said, change my mind. I can't come. Amen. And we had the conversation, and he said that he did want me to be here. I know that I'm looking and speaking to men that are very able preachers and speakers that I would much rather hear you preach tonight. But the responsibility has fallen on my shoulders. And just a few days after that, God put this message on my heart. And I knew that it was for this service tonight. And I just pray that God will use me to be effective in delivering what's in my heart in a way that we can all receive it. The writer said that he sought for acceptable words. Acceptable words. A word fitly spoken, the Bible says, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. We know these proverbs. And I've sought for acceptable words to deliver this message here today. And if you'll ride with me for a little bit, I think we'll all be helped by the Holy Ghost. So I want to read three verses of Scripture for a text, and then I'll try to sort it all out, make sense of it over the next little while. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse number 18. I'm also going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse number 17. And then I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis, chapter number 37. Proverbs 29 and 18, familiar scripture to all of us that have been in this movement for any length of time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Then Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17, also very familiar to us all. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. One preacher said that's the way he could tell the difference between the old men and the young, whether we're seeing visions or dreaming dreams. I don't believe that's an accurate interpretation of Scripture. I believe it's two different ways of describing the vision of the work of God. And then going back to Genesis chapter 37, I'm going to read verse 19 and verse 20. Genesis 37, verse 19 and verse number 20. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. God, would you help us here today? We so desperately need your anointing. God, I want to be your spokesman. I want to be a vessel that you can use in this house today. I want to help your church today. I want to strengthen the work of God. I want the Holy Ghost to be in evidence in this house today. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would help me to find those acceptable words and to preach your word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And you may be seated here today. Praise God. There's a well-known story of a young man who grew up very poor, the son of an itinerant horse trainer. And as a young student, he was asked to write an essay about what he wanted to do with his life. He wrote about working with horses, owning land, building buildings, and building a place where he could have a successful horse training facility and ranch. And his teacher discouraged him, telling him that his dream was unrealistic, and that from his position in society, it was very unlikely that he would ever be able to achieve that dream, that it wasn't practical, and he gave him a failing grade on his essay, but with an opportunity to rewrite something that would be more reasonable, something more attainable. The story goes that he went home and discussed this with his father, and his father said, "Well, you make the decision on how you want to handle it." And in this version of the story, this young man returned the essay to his teacher unchanged, unedited. And he gave it back to him with these words, "I'll keep my dream, and you keep your F." Monty Roberts became known as a great rancher and teacher, and was consulted in the production of the Horse Whisperer and that training facility, and today owns a great ranch in California where horses are bred and horses are trained. Dreams are very, very individual. Dreams are very sometimes fragile, and it's very important that we understand that everything that is spoken into a dream is not beneficial. We've got to be careful of the voices that we allow to influence us. But this truth didn't start with Monty Roberts. I want to go back and introduce to you a man named Joseph. Tonight we're not celebrating just a man and his family, even though we are, and we thank God for the work Brother and Sister Cowan and their family are doing in this city. But we're celebrating a calling. We're celebrating a burden. We're celebrating a God-given vision. Because when God gives a man an assignment, He also gives him a dream. God doesn't set us in a place without direction. He doesn't set us in a place without vision. He doesn't set us in a place without purpose, because God's order is perfect. He is not the author of confusion. Amen. But He's a God of order, and He's a God of purpose, and He's a God of vision. As I've read to you from the Proverbs already, that where there is no vision, the people perish. We understand today that the writer was not speaking only of eyesight. He was talking about revelation. He was talking about direction. He was talking about God's plan for His people. Amen. I want to emphasize to us today that, again, God is not haphazard in what He does. Sometimes we struggle to see the pattern. Sometimes we struggle to understand what God is doing. But as they were singing, when God fills the house, there's miracles that take place. When God fills the house, there is vision that comes. Amen. And when you remove the vision, you remove the future. When you remove the vision, you take away hope. When you remove the vision, you take away healing. You take away purpose. Amen. Amen. And the dream is from God. Again, from Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, God is still giving dreams. We're still living in the last days. I'm a proponent of last day revival. I'm a proponent of last day miracles. I'm a proponent of last day people coming as a harvest into the church of God. Well, when does that end time revival start? It started on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out on believers that had gathered in that place. Amen. And the visions are still being given, and the dreams are still being given, and there's still people who are aspiring to do things for the kingdom of God. Amen. You consider stand, I'm going to preach. Praise God. And you take away the vision. You take away the future. Now, I'm not talking about pickle dreams or pizza dreams. And I'm not necessarily even talking about things that we see when we're sleeping at night. But I'm talking about a vision for our calling. I'm talking about Holy Ghost dreams that God puts in the heart and the spirit. And I'm going to preach in defense of pastors and preachers here today, but I don't want you to just shovel it all over your shoulder to somebody you know in ministry, because these young men that are filling these first two rows, God will give you dreams, and he'll give you visions, and he'll plant things in your heart that you can be effective for the work of the kingdom of God. There's room for labor. There's room for work. There's room for somebody to receive that dream. Amen. I'm talking about dreams of revival, dreams of harvest. Amen. Dreams of churches that grow numerically, but not just numerically. Churches that grow spiritually and become strong and mature in the word and in the spirit. Because we can only be so effective as a social organization. But when we understand that our power comes from a dream that God has planted in our heart, that we might tap in frequently to the presence of the Holy Ghost, and that infusion of the Spirit of God come into our life that will empower us to do things and to be things that are impossible with what we have in our flesh. Dreams of souls being saved. Dreams of chains being broken. Dreams of deliverance to the captive. Deliverance to the prison doors being opened to people in our society that are bound by the chains of this world. Amen. I think the scripture is plain. When the people that were the VIPs that were invited into the great supper all had an excuse of why they could not come, he told his servants to go and find the broken, find the maimed, find the halt, find the lame. Go drag them out of the gutter and compel them to come to my house, that my house may be filled. But somebody has got to have a dream. Somebody's got to have an understanding. Amen. This is not to multiply through successive generations of apostolic people, but God wants to bring some sinners into the house, and he wants to set them free from the bondage that they're living in, and he wants to put some new blood in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that, and as I was finalizing my preparation and my notes for this service today, I kept writing Augusta into things, but I went back and I changed every place that I put Augusta, Kansas in my notes to this region, amen, because I believe that God is establishing churches and preachers with vision that are bigger than their city, that bigger than their street that they're on, that bigger, amen, than any geographical area that we would define as this is our space. Amen. But I believe the influence of the Holy Ghost in a church, in a pastor, in a preacher, in a man that can have the kind of vision that I'm preaching about today. Your influence can be regional, because there's a whole lot of flavors of stuff that's out there to be consumed that cannot meet the needs of that generation that it is searching for deliverance. But God's raising up churches, and God's planting people, and God's establishing order, and we got to keep the vision and keep reaching for the influence that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. A region being changed by the influence of the Holy Ghost in the church. And when God places a pastor in the church, he puts a dream inside of that man. God places a pastor in a city, in a region, amen, he's giving him something to reach for, something to pray for, something to teach toward, something to preach toward. And I'll go ahead and say it now. He can't do it by himself. Amen. There's got to be people who are going to bear the burden, who are going to stand, as I've already said, as pillars in the house of God. And when it's church time, pastor's not wondering where you are, because you've accepted the dream and the vision, and you bought into the purpose, and you say, count on me, because I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be a part of what the kingdom God is. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Joseph is our great example from the Word of God. As we reference just a small part of the story, I'm going to lean on your knowledge of this story and not go back and teach it all. You know, at home we gotta go back sometimes and start in Genesis in order to get to the book of Acts. I remember my sister teaching a Sunday school class, and she was doing a little Bible trivia, and she asked the question, Brother Cowan, who killed a giant? Little boy raised his hand. He said, I know the answer. She called on him and he said, it was Jack. We're kind of taken aback. Don't understand. No, it's Jack and the Beanstalk. So we go to the next question. Who got swallowed by the whale? I know that one too. That was Geppetto and Pinocchio. And I'm not kidding, it was three or four questions that there was a fairy tale answer for a Bible question. We're living in a world. We got to be wise as men of God and go back and bring people along to where we are. But I think I'm preaching to some folks. I can talk about Joseph without having to explain it all. Well, that was an unnecessary diversion, but it was kind of fun, wasn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Joseph was favored by his father, but he was hated by his brethren. The coat of many colors showed his father's favor, but it also inflamed his brother's envy of his father's love. Amen. Joseph was carrying something that they did not understand. He tried to explain it to them. He tried to share his dream with people that should have cared about the dream. He tried to share his dream, but instead of receiving a favorable buy-in to the dream, instead he received the hatred and even the doubt and question of his own father whenever he shared the dream with him. But Joseph didn't ask for the dream. God gave him that dream. And when he spoke it and he talked about it, and this contention continued in the family, we come to the passage of scripture that I read where he was coming to bring them food. He was coming to bring them supplies. He was coming to check on them. And their response was, behold, the dreamer cometh. Let us slay him and see then what will become of his dream. Now, you've been waiting for me to give you a title, and so I've come to the place where I can share my title with you here tonight. I want to preach to this congregation, don't destroy the dreamer. Don't destroy the dreamer. Let us slay him and see what will become of his dreams. Joseph's brothers didn't like his dream because it went against their pride. It went against the status quo, the way things were always done. It went against their way of thinking, and instead of adjusting their life to the dream that God had given their brother, they decided the easy way out would be simply to kill him, and then we'll see what happens to the dream. Their thought process was, if we can kill the man, we can kill the dream. If we can kill the man, we can kill the dream. Praise God. And some of you have been around long enough to maybe begin thinking about some things that have happened that you may know about or was part of. And you know the assault that can come against a man of God that's got a vision. A man of God that's got a dream. Hell is going to fight. Amen. The world is going to fight. Carnal people are going to fight. But I want to tell you today that this dream didn't come from Joseph. It came from God. Amen. And killing a man is not going to take care of getting rid of God's dream. Oh, hallelujah. Killing a man is not going to get rid of the word of truth. Killing a man, Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This dream is bigger than any individual. But God gives the individuals the dreams to walk them out in this life and see the effect of that dream that it can have on a church, on a family, on a city, on a community, on a region where somebody is willing to face the fear and face the threat and face the devil and face the world and say, you know what? You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take my life, Paul said, but to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I got a dream that the world didn't give me. I got a dream that you didn't give me. My brothers didn't give it to me, and my brothers can't take it away from me. Ah, this dream, it came from God. And I want to tell you today that we need to be careful how we handle the man of God. Because what he carries, it didn't come from him. Amen. I know Brother Cowan well enough to know that what he's teaching and preaching to this church is not his doctrine. It's the doctrine of the apostles that was continued in the book of Acts. Amen. It was expounded in the epistles to give us more instruction. Amen. And he's going to take lines, and he's going to take precepts, and he's going to build out a framework of a dream that takes this church to the next level. I appreciate that encouragement that came from Brother Riggin, because we're just hitting our five-year mark in our current pastorate in Roxboro. And I can tell you that this past year, we've seen more happen in our city than we've seen in all the previous years that we have been there. God will honor a man that'll stand in a dream and face the adversity and face the pushback and face the brothers that say, you know what, we just kill Cowan and we'll take care of that dream. Oh, I want to tell you, that dream didn't come from him. It's not his work. It's not his doctrine. He's a messenger. He's a vessel. God put a dream in his heart. God put a dream in his life. And if you'll get behind it and you'll walk with it and you'll be a part of it, then you're going to be a part of the blessing that's going to come. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We got to be careful how we handle the man of God, because what he carries didn't come from him. I want to tell you today, don't criticize what you don't understand. I don't know you. You don't know me. There's a few friends and acquaintances around here. I just got a word from the Lord today. And I want to tell you, don't criticize what you don't understand. Because God sometimes wants to do a new thing. Sometimes God's not going to do things the way that you mapped it out. And the way you thought it ought to happen. And the way that you visualize. Sometimes God takes our plans and he turns them upside down. And he puts them in his dream. And I promise you, from years of experience, that it's always better when we do it God's way, and we let him have the reins, and we let him get the story, and we let him dictate the way the outcome is going to happen. Don't tear down what God's building. I said, don't tear down what God has built and what God is building. Amen. Because God's got the best plans. I said he's got the best plans, and he knows what he's doing. We don't want to fight what God has ordained. You know, even the religious Jews of the days of the apostles had enough sense to say, if it's God, we can't stop it. And if it ain't God, it ain't going to last.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus. Some of us. And I just got to include myself in all this preaching, because I've been in those places where I've looked and said, God, what in the world are you doing? If you haven't, just hang on, baby. Your day is coming. Amen. Because God doesn't work to the whim of man. God's got a plan. He's got a dream. And when you see God building something, Nehemiah started building a wall, and they didn't like it. They said, oh, a fox runs up on that wall, it's going to fall down. Yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know about what pastors teach. And hey, man, is it okay if I just share some personal things here tonight? I'll try to be careful, try to be good, but I really want to help some folks. Amen. And I don't know nothing about you, but I know where I've been, and I know some of the things that I've dealt with. So if I talk about them and it sounds like you, it ain't. But maybe it is. Shoe fits where, it's what I'm trying to say. Praise God. But we have some situations where I began to preach some things to our church. They need to hear. And the phone lines light up after church. What do you think about that message that Brother Morgan preached tonight? Well, sometimes they call the wrong people. Thank God for faithful saints of God that will call up pastors and say, I want to tell you who just called me and what they had to say. And you know what? A lot of people, they say, they don't say what they said. They ask these leading questions. And if you try to run them in the corner, well, I didn't say that. You know what you are? You're tearing down what God is building. And you better be careful how you handle the man of God. And you better be careful, because what he's carrying, it didn't come from him. It's come from God. And if you want to fight against God, honey, you're fighting a battle that you ain't going to win. It may look like you get by for a little while, but when God gives a vision to a man and he puts him in a location and he gives him a mandate to build a church, to strengthen a church, to reach a city, to impact a region, then you just might as well back up and get your hands off, because God is going to do what God is going to do, and he'll do it with you helping, or he'll do it without you helping. He'll do it with you supporting, or he'll do it with you fighting against it, and it really don't make any difference to God. Amen. We don't want to fight what God has ordained, because there is too much that is connected to the dream. The souls of this region are connected to the dream that this pastor has for this church. And when we're talking about souls, we're talking about the most precious commodity in the entire universe. Jesus asks the question, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If he gained the whole world, he's still on the losing end of the equation. And so I'm preaching. And if you're not from this church, and you're here, and your pastor's here, you know what? I'm preaching to you, and your pastor too. Amen. I'm preaching to the entire assembly of the firstborn, because this principle applies across the kingdom of God. And when God gives a man a vision, it's the future of the souls of this region. It's the future of your children and your grandchildren, who are the heritage of the Lord. Amen. I've been rejoicing. I got to be Papa about almost 5 years ago. And then last year we got three more that made me Papa, 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 Papa. Amen. And it's the best job that I've ever had in my life. Praise God. But I was reading from Psalms. We dedicated a new baby in our church last Sunday night. And it stood out to me that the children are not the heritage of the grandparents. They're not the heritage of the parents. The psalmist said the children are the heritage of the Lord. Can I go ahead and preach a little bit here today? Don't go home and have preacher for dinner on Sunday afternoon and think that your children are going to be the heritage of the Lord. Don't think that your grandchildren are going to be here running the aisles and worshiping God, because you're trying to tear down the dream that God is establishing in your... I'm preaching in defense of the ministry today. Don't destroy the dreamer. There's too much dependent on his dream. You'll destroy your own future and the influence of the church. Because have you ever wondered what would have happened if Reuben hadn't pulled Joseph out of the pit and preserved his life? I don't think Reuben knew that he was preserving his own life and his own family, and in fact the world that was around them that day. Because down the road, Joseph is going to be the one that's handing out corn in a famine and preserving. Oh, don't destroy the dreamer, because your future is depending on his dream being fulfilled. Don't destroy the dreamer today, because your future, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your co-workers, your street, your job, your city, it's all depending on this man and his dream. If you destroy the dreamer, you just might destroy your own provision. Praise God. You can be seated. Point number two. I heard somebody say the other day, man, that was a good sermon. It was a great tasting sermon. The only thing that would have made it better would have been just a little more shortening. I hope y'all don't feel that way when I get done here today. Point number two, Joseph, as we know, has continued his journey, sold to the Ishmaelites and carried down to Egypt, and purchased on the auction slave block by a man named Potiphar. Joseph maintained his integrity. His dream was still alive. He was promoted very quickly in Potiphar's house. Oh man, there's so many things in my mind right now. It would have been easy for him to think this promotion is what my dream was about. I'm not going to preach that, but you think about that for a minute. We can become satisfied with things that are short of the fullness of the dream that God has for us. Now, Joseph is rising, God is blessing, and then here comes La Sila, Flusi Lou, whatever you want to give the name to Potiphar's wife. The distraction. Don't distract the dreamer. Don't distract the dreamer. Potiphar's wife tried, as we know, to pull him off course. She was a very selfish woman, seeking to fulfill her own selfish desires, and created a distraction that could have taken the dream badly off course. Her selfishness could have been her own destruction if Joseph would have succumbed to her advances and the dream would have been destroyed. When the enemy can't destroy the dream and can't destroy the dreamer, then he's going to try to distract the dreamer and change the course by distraction. I think distraction is probably one of the biggest enemies of any productivity that we could focus on in life. Whether it is our job, whether it's our family, whether it's our own spiritual walk, what we are prone, most of us. I tell my wife all the time, I'm undiagnosed ADHD. Praise God, I have a hard time staying focused. But distraction is a great enemy that will set off course many, many noble desires and purposes that we would have in life. And you get to the end of the day and you say, now why didn't I get anything accomplished? And you go through your mind with the things that you did do, and you begin to realize how trivial and how unimportant the time was that you spent that day, and you didn't accomplish very much that had real value. Not because you set out to waste a day. You set out with good intentions. You had a plan when you started your day, but you allowed distractions to take you off course and to burn precious, precious time. I believe that's why the Bible tells us that we need to be wise
days, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I don't feel qualified to preach this particular portion, because I struggle as much or more than anybody else does to stay on focus and to stay on target. But we got to make sure that we stay in our dream and not become distracted. But can I get back to my flow here today? Amen. There's a lot of things that's going to affect the ministry and the effectiveness of the work of God. Amen. And not every attack on the dream comes from outside of the church. Sometimes it comes simply from pressure that we put on the pastor to perform at a certain level, or to produce things that's going to feed us the cotton candy that makes us feel good, to create an atmosphere of excitement. And dare I use the word entertainment in the church that will attract us to come back. I contend that our churches need not be entertainment venues, but they need to be education centers where people can learn to stay focused in the work of the kingdom of God and how to please God and let the work of the kingdom be multiplied in our lives. We put pressure on the pastor, amen, to produce a certain feeling. Why don't you produce it in the prayer meeting that he's called before the service? Why don't you produce it in your daily walk with God, walking in the Spirit and producing the things that you bring to the service? You bring it to the house of God. You bring it and see what God's going to do when his children are on fire, when they're prayed up, when they're walking in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can put pressure on him to perform. We can put expectations on him that this is the way that things ought to be. And we can create distractions of things that are so trivial and unimportant to the work of the kingdom of God. And here's pastor running around trying to keep everybody petted and happy and consoled. Oh, you need to grow up and don't need so much milk. You need to be eating milk, meat, and giving some milk to somebody else and taking some of the load off the man of God so that he can pursue the vision. And don't be a distraction to the dream that God has given to your man of God. Hallelujah. Our pressure and our expectations, and I don't want to get too detailed because I don't want to step on your feet again. Amen. But I've been in those places where it's been made plain. We expected you to do this. We expected you to do that. And I'm praying through and working through and preparing meat to feed people that want to do something for the kingdom of God. An elder preacher made a statement to me many years ago when I first started my ministry. He'd been pastoring about 30 years in the church that he was in at that time. And he pulled me to the side and he said, "Brother Morgan, I want to give you just a little input from my experience." I don't think he even called it advice that day. He said, "But I spent a lot of my ministry chasing after stragglers that did not want to be involved in what the church was doing. Whereas if I would have focused on that core of people that wanted to do something for the kingdom of God, I would be years ahead of where we are right now in our church." That resonated with me, Pastor Cowan, and I can't say that I've lived it perfectly, but sometimes in trying to implement, amen, these things in our ministry and in our life, I'm feeling too comfortable. I'm feeling too good. Am I doing okay? Amen. People get their feelings hurt sometimes because they don't get called on. They get their feelings hurt because they don't get asked to serve in some capacity. Amen. But you want me to tell you who pastor's going to call on? He's going to call on those people that are close by. He's going to call on those that are available. He's going to call on those that are involved. Amen. Who went with Jesus to the garden? It was Peter and James and John. Where were the rest of them? I don't know. The Bible don't make it clear. But we do see consistently through the Word of God that there was an inner circle of men that were consistently lifted up or called up to places of experience with Jesus in his earthly ministry. Is it because they were his favorites? No. It's because they were right there. Where's Peter? Peter, put away your sword. That's not what I had in mind. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to build 3 tabernacles. No, Peter, that's not it. But they were there. They were involved. They were available. They weren't a distraction to the ministry. They weren't distracting and pulling aside. Don't expect pastor going to chase you down in the parking lot and say, hey, we want you to be involved. We want you to do something. We want to give you a leadership position. I tell you what you need to do if you want that. You be in the altar service. You be in the prayer room. You be in the worship service. You make yourself available and get involved in what you want to do. That's not going to distract the pastor. That's going to hold up his hands and it's going to strengthen the work of the church. Don't place unnecessary weight on your pastor that pulls away from his vision, his direction, or his unfettered preaching. I appreciate the good response that I'm getting here tonight, but I've learned to preach to crossed arms. I've learned how to preach to hard faces. Amen. And when a man's got a word from God, he needs to be able to set his forehead like a flint and preach what the word of God said. And I'm not promoting being mean in the pulpit. Go to Roxbury and ask our folks. Amen. I'm a old softy. I want to have good balance like this man talked about. The Bible does say reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But man, I'd rather make people feel good when I was preaching. But if you understand what the word's doing, it will make you feel good, even when it ain't feeling good. But don't put pressure on the pastor when he's preaching. If you're going to put pressure on him, get up here on your feet and say amen, or oh me, or ouch, or give me some more, or whatever you got to respond. But get involved and receive what the man of God is putting out. And don't be I've known some preachers, they like them crossed arms. They try to bust their head and uncross their arms. Amen. Hey, that's a distraction. Am I still all right, Brother Rawls? Amen. Praise God. But because you see, whenever God's wanting to feed his sheep, he don't want a time to a post and get one of them long syringes and try to poke stuff down their throat. That's not the way people are going to be fed. You got to be hungry. You got to be involved. Amen. And when you're going to sit back and just let pastor know that I'm not pleased with what you're delivering today, you're distracting the dreamer. And you need to be one place. You need to be in the altar. And you need to get your heart and your spirit right. And let that man of God know, I'm behind you. I'm with you. We're going to have revival. We're going to reach our city. We're going to see a church raised up for the glory of God. He needs to be able. We talk about unfettered pulpits. We talk about open pulpits. We talk about respected pulpits where men can come. And Brother Cowan didn't tell me nothing. He didn't tell me what to preach. He didn't tell me what the church needed. He just said, come and preach. And he told you it was going to be cornbread and beans, and this is what we're getting here today. But I'm telling you, amen, you can influence his preaching. You can put a damper on it. They received the word, but they didn't mix it with faith, and it profited them nothing. Amen. And this pastor does not want to be a preacher that's preaching for no profit. He needs you to get involved and not distract the mission and the vision of the church. And we need clear teaching. We need clear teaching. Now, We're not a home mission church. Our church will be celebrating 25 years this year. And Brother Johnny Goldare rented the building in Roxborough 2001, started having church there. And we're second, third pastor. It's a whole long story. But God called us, and we're there, and we're working for the kingdom of God. And we're a small congregation in a storefront. Thank God we're not paying rent no more. Amen. Thank God we ain't paying a mortgage payment anymore. Praise God. And that's a great relief. And we thank God for where he is. But as a pastor of a small congregation, and we've been seeing some people come get the Holy Ghost. And man, we just get so excited when somebody comes. And then can y'all won't have less respect for me if I'm just really, really open myself up here a little bit tonight. I'm going to take that word, and I want to make disciples out of these converts. You know, that's your instruction. But discipleship, maybe I better not go there. Discipleship doesn't always happen with one trip to the altar. Salvation can, because we're not saved by our works. Now, don't stone me yet. I'm in the Bible. He said we're not saved by works lest we should boast. And I've been places where there was a whole lot of works boasting about what our church is and what we're going to be and what people's going to do when they come here. When the Holy Ghost desires to move into somebody's life and begin a process of producing fruit in their life. And I'm afraid there's been times that I've been guilty of trying to force fruit from a tree that wasn't mature enough to produce anything. I know I'm in Kansas, but I'm in the Bible too. And I go to the pulpit with a great, I don't like the word fear, but that's the best word that I can come with right now. Is that the teaching that I give to these infants would be something that they can receive in a way that is going to strengthen them and help them grow? Is there any infant babies in this place here today? I see these little toddlers, and they're up eating. They like fried chicken and mashed potatoes. Amen. That's what they wanted yesterday. Chicken and mashed potatoes. And they made it very clear, and they enjoyed it. But the day after they were born, they weren't eating chicken and mashed potatoes. I think they were eating from IVs, weren't they? Well, they need to be drinking out of a bottle. No, see, their situation had... We got to have some clear teaching, but we need some men with a vision of what this new convert can become for the kingdom of God. And he don't need you to be distracting from that vision. You don't get them in the foyer and give them the list of church rules that they need to be abiding by the next time they come to the house of God. You don't invite them over for coffee and tell them this is the way we do it. You've got a man of God that knows how to run the nursery, and he knows how to feed the babies, and he's going to raise up a church. Don't you be a distraction. Don't distract the dreamer. Amen. Amen. Protect his focus. Protect his focus. He cares about you. And you can influence him with your reactions to his direction. I'm preaching to help some churches and some pastors here today. Whenever my grandbaby started coming, I got my children and I said, I tell you what, I need your help. I'm fixing to be Popo. I'm fixing to be Papa. And I'm coming to a place in my life where I could be distracted from the things that I've preached and taught all of my life. And I beg you, please, don't make it hard for me with these little ones. You were raised right. You were taught right. But here we are in another generation. And again, I don't want to keep qualifying myself. Say, I'm just preaching what God has given me for this service here today. Because it's many times in the second and third generations that things are lost in the church because there's an influence of distraction on the older man of God. That the love that he has for people and for family, and because he cares, and because he's trying to hold things together, and because he's trying to lead you to the meat of the Word of God, he can be distracted and influenced by your reactions and by your reticence and by your drawing back from the things that he's taught. I'm telling you, don't distract the dreamer. Bring your kids to the altar. Bring your kids to the church. Help them understand this is our man of God. He's helping us be saved. He's taking us to heaven. And we're going to love him. And we're going to respect him. And we're not going to be a distraction from the dream of our church. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. And point number three. Don't disregard the dreamer. In the prison, Joseph helped others. He interpreted dreams. He spoke the truth. And he was forgotten. The butler got his breakthrough and forgot the man that helped him. How many people do we know have heard the word? They felt the spirit and even understood the emphasis of the dream. That moment, that time period where they were on fire of the Holy Ghost. The situation that we took in Roxburgh, and I don't have time and no desire to detail it all out, but I began after 2 years to begin to gently try to turn the ship in a better direction. The dream was never absent. The dream was there. But just trying to work in wisdom, the Holy Ghost, letting God work. Everybody wasn't in on the dream. Some are not there today. But sometime into that growing process, there was a precious young lady in our church. She came to me, and she had been faithful. She had been loyal. She had been obedient to everything that I preached, even though there was much that she did not understand. But she was willing. She was obedient. She was not a distraction. But the day that she came to me after church, and she said, "Pastor, I see what you're doing, and I like it. Something had happened in her life, that light, that illumination, and she became a greater part of the dream." Amen. Her husband, God blessed him with a miracle baby. And now they had another one that we dedicated on Sunday. We rejoice in the things of God. But how many people reached that epiphany moment where they understood? They got revelation. They knew this man is a man of God. This word is a word from God. This is something that I need to hear. And when they were delivered from their situation, their circumstance, and life began to improve for them, that man that had the word, that man that helped them, was left behind. They forget the dreamer, and they move on with their lives. But I want to tell you today, don't disregard the dreamer. The man that prayed for you. The man who preached you through. The man who stood beside you in your darkest hours and prayed for you and held you up before the Lord that you could survive and you could overcome. They took the clock off the wall. I don't know where I am, but honor is not a moment. Honor is a lifestyle. Tonight we honor Pastor Cowan, his family, for their 5 years of service. But New Life Tabernacle, your honor for your man of God should not be forgotten when this service is over.
when this week is passed and another year begins to click down through the calendar, don't disregard the dreamer. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you. Remember them who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We understand that interpretation of that word conversation is not the common vernacular that we use in our English language today. It's lifestyle. It's manner of conduct. But could I go back without changing anything in the Word of God and substitute the word dream for the word faith in this verse? They've spoken unto you the word of God, whose dream? Because you can't dream without faith. The faith that God gave you, the dream that God gave you. Follow, considering their lifestyle. Don't disregard the example that this man of God sets. Don't disregard the lifestyle that he lives. Don't disregard the labor that he invests into this church, into this congregation, into this city. God's got great things ahead for New Life Tabernacle. Point number four. The dream will. Everybody say will. The dream will come to pass. Years later, Pharaoh dreams a dream that nobody has an answer for. And suddenly, from somewhere, there's a man in Pharaoh's court that speaks up and he says, hold on. I know a man that when I was in a bad place, when I was in a prison, when I didn't know where my life was going, he spoke a word to me. And that word came to pass. I'm taking too much time now, but recently in our city, God has laid a great burden on my heart for backsliders. Now, I encourage our people, meet new people. Speak to everybody you see. Make somebody's day brighter and invite them to church. You see the glum-looking teller at the grocery store, and you think, man, I don't want to interact with those people. When you get to your turn in line, say, hey, did anybody thank you for coming into work today? And you're going to get some incredulous looks, I promise. And they say, oh, nobody ever thanks me for coming. Well, just stick your hand out and say, hey, let me be the first. Thank you for coming to work today. I appreciate you being here if nobody else does. Try that on somebody tomorrow. You'll get a smile. You'll get a, hey, thank you, you made my day brighter. Have your church card ready and say, hey, let me bring you to a place where there's new life. But the dream is going to come to pass. And I don't know how many backsliders are within reach of this church, but a church that's been here as long as it's been here, there's some folks out there that have had an experience with God. And there's going to be things that's going to happen, and there's going to be a memory that's going to stir in their heart. They say, hey, I remember a place. I remember an experience that I had. Pastors, preachers, saints of God, let me tell you this right now. Listen to me. God knows how to bring your name up in the right room at the right time. I don't know if you heard me. God knows how to bring your name up in the right room at the right time. You just keep faithfully living for God and supporting the dream and doing what you know how to do. You may feel like you're in a prison. You may feel like you're bound up somewhere. But you've been faithful and you've kept your integrity and you're walking with God. Come on, Pastor Cal, don't give it up. God knows how to bring your name up in the right room at the right time.
There's Holy Ghost in this house right now. There's power. The dream will come to pass. There is going to be a place, and there's going to be a time when we're going to come from the pit not destroyed. We're going to come from the prison but not distracted. We're going to come to the palace but not disregarded, because when God plants a dream and God gives a vision, He's going to bring it to pass in the way that He has intended that it's going to happen. There was a purpose for the dream. Joseph was not lifted up for himself. He was lifted up to save others. And when the famine came, his brothers showed up. And what did they do? They bowed in obeisance, just like the dream that God said it was going to happen. This is the same ones that said, here comes the dreamer. Let's destroy him and see what's going to happen to his dream. Oh, let me ask you a question, New Life. Some of those backsliders, they left with bad spirits. They left with bitter attitudes. They left with a lot of anger, malice, hatred. And there was a lot of strife. I asked our church this question the other day. I said, what are you going to do when they walk back down to this altar and they bow before God and they repent of their sins? Are we going to have an older brother attitude that says we've been here and we've been faithful? No, let's buy the Father's dream and say, come on, let's kill the fatted calf and rejoice, because they were dead and now they're alive. How easy it would have been for Joseph to say, off with their heads, an unrighteous bunch of scallywags. But no, he learned some things in this process. And what we're going to see what becomes of his dream. They were standing in the fulfillment of that dream. Potiphar's wife, Joseph's brothers, and the butler. All ate corn that came from the storehouses that Joseph had laid up during the 7 years of plenty. So be careful, because what you criticize today might be what you're depending on tomorrow for your survival. I feel Holy Ghost strong in this house today. I'm glad that I'm delivering myself. I've been carrying this for a couple of months now. And the Holy Ghost help us. But I'd like to do something. And I didn't ask the pastor if I could do this. He gave me liberty. I'm gonna take it. But I'd like Sister Cowan, Pastor Cowan, to come and stand right here in front of this congregation, if you wouldn't mind. If you're standing, please remain standing. And if you're able, you'd like to join those that are standing here today. When God gives a man, a pastor, a vision for a church, that vision's not an option. One of many. But it's a mandate from God. Because that vision for this church, for this community, and Brother Cowan, I believe for this region, is life. It's effectiveness. It's productivity. When you turn around and look at the church, look at your man of God. There's other pastors in the church. Would you kind of space yourselves out across the front here? Stand with this man of God. Please join me. Any other pastors that are here? This vision is your covering. Every vessel without a covering is unclean. This vision is your direction. This vision is your lifeline. And to the men of God, to the man of God of this congregation, and to these other pastors that are standing here with us today, thank you for dreaming. Thank you for standing. Thank you for staying. Thank you for holding on to the dream that God has given to you. New Life Tabernacle, I'd like for you to make this declaration in your hearts. Maybe even we'll do it if you don't repeat, if you don't mean it. But if you do, let's do it as a repeat back. We will not destroy the dreamer. We will not distract the dreamer. We will not disregard the dreamer. But we will pray for him. We will support him. And we will believe in the vision. Church, don't destroy the dreamer, because your future is tied to his vision. When it may seem like all the forces are aligned against the church, the dream, to press for the surrender of that dream, we could have a response like Monty Roberts had to his teacher that day. You can keep your influence. You can keep your F. But I'm going to keep my dream. New Life, would you gather around your pastor and his wife? Let's begin to pray together as a church. These other ministers would join together with us, and let's pray for the favor of God upon this family and upon this church. Come on, church, it's time to pray. I know there's other activities that we're moving to, but we've preached for this purpose today. It's not just hearing this word. We're looking for a response in the Spirit that's going to make some connections. Oh, I know there's 5 years past. I know you've accepted this man of God. I know that things are moving in a good direction, but I feel like there's a transition that's taken place in this service tonight as you're celebrating 5 years of labor, 5 years of work, 5 years of investment into this community. God is molding a dream that he has given to this man for this vision, for this city, for this region. And you're buying that dream. And I'm saying, I'm not going to destroy the dreamer. I'm not going to distract the dreamer. I'm not going to disregard the dreamer. The dream is going to come to pass. Oh, let's lift our voices and pray together. Other saints from other places, if your pastor's here today, it'd be appropriate for you to connect up with your pastor and say, I'm believing the dream. I'm with you, pastor. Oh, we're going forward. I'm not going to destroy. I'm not going to distract. I'm not going to disregard. But God wants to give revival in this last day that we're living in. He wants to shake Kansas with an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like's never been seen. Oh, but we got to get connected, and we got to understand that God gives the dreams. God gives the visions. He's poured out of his Spirit in this last day, and he wants us to connect, and he wants us to move, and he wants us to reach, and he wants us to grow, and he wants us to prosper. If you're here without a family church connection, connect yourself with somebody else that's appropriate, and let's pray together in this house. Let the Holy Ghost move in this place. Let the glory of the Lord come down and vision. Oh, kashanalamasikomaha. Oh, that's it, church. Holy Ghost is in this house. Oh, Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Morgan. My dream is so vague. My dream is so distant. My dream has been so long without fruition. Oh, there was a king that dreamed a dream, and he couldn't remember what it was. But Daniel said, I can't give you back your dream. But I want to tell you today, if you're here without a dream, there's a God that can. He'll renew it. He'll strengthen it. God, help us in this house today. Jesus.